throne, to a manger, to a cross, to a grave, but always with a reason why this traveler couldn't stay. Love kept him pressing onward to fulfill his Father's plan, so he rose up from that earthly grave with death's keys held in his hand.
Thank you, teens. When I was that age, I was bound for hell. And without the Savior, it blesses my heart to see them up here singing the right kind of music and doing it with a good spirit. And I just love the words to that song. And I thank the Lord that you're here tonight. Good crowd. I see some folks from out of town. Brother Landon from up in Chicago, he found out I was preaching. He nearly turned around and got on that ticket back. But he's here. Told him to hang out. And Mrs. Wheat, good to see you, and some other visitors. A man named Scott's been coming a few times. And talked to this man in the visitor's reception Sunday afternoon after a morning service, and he told me, he said, I want to learn and grow and learn some things about the Lord. And that's Wednesday night. I told him, hey, you got to be there Sunday night and Wednesday night, and you got to be around the Word of God. You're just not going to learn this book outside of church. The TV's not going to teach it to you, and the radio's not going to teach it to you. It's getting in the Word of God, and I'm glad to see him here and a lot of others tonight. It'll encourage our preacher greatly. And wasn't Sunday a tremendous day of preaching? I remember Brother Todd's message about the whosoevers, the whensoevers, the soevers, the whatevers, and I'm just glad I'm a whosoever. Brother Todd, he didn't mention Calvinism, but if I've ever heard Calvinism refuted, it was in that message. God's a whosoever God, and I'm here tonight because I'm one of those whosoevers, and we need to go out and tell all the other whosoevers about our Savior and how He'll save you from sin and give you a home in heaven. But Brother Garner had another tremendous message. I don't see Brother Garner here, but I'm sure you can relay the message to him. It was tremendous. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increases by the strength of the ox. Now, one point really stuck in my mind. He said, for every positive, there's a what? A negative. And after his message, I was musing over that and meditating on it and told my wife, I said, wow, you know, there's a positive for every negative. And I said, a few seconds later, I said, well, I'm preaching Wednesday night. She said, well, there's got to be a negative to his positive tonight. So I just get great encouragement from my helpmeet, and she helps me. I have a wonderful wife. We're coming up on her 12th, 13th, something like that anniversary, and Marriage just gets better and better, except for that one statement she made Sunday night. Amen. Find Zephaniah chapter number 2. Zephaniah chapter number 2. At junior camp last week, it was amazing to see our youth, third grade through seventh, in the sword drills. Now, sword drill is where you begin with your Bible up in the air, and I'm not going to have you do this, and you can't put your fingers on the spine, but you hold it up in the air, or you have to put your fingers on the spine, and then Brother Combs would call out a scripture, and the first junior camper to find that scripture and be verified would win something, a prize, or we were playing a game. And it's just amazing to see those kids, how fast they would find obscure passages in the Bible. But it was another thing when the counselors did it, and it took a little bit longer. So I'm giving you time to find Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 3. It's there. Keep looking. It's in the Old Testament. And give you a little bit of background about Zephaniah. He was a minor prophet preaching about the impending doom of the southern kingdom of Judah. And Judah, it was prophesied, would be destroyed. All but a remnant would be destroyed for their sin, for their idolatry, for a lot of the same things going on in America today. It was going to be wiped out in three different captivities. The Babylonian Empire was going to overrun and take over Judah. So there was Zephaniah preaching his heart out, not a very popular message about the impending doom. That's what we need to be preaching today and be preparing ourselves for. Be preparing in our heart. Know we're saved. Know those around us are saved. Know that we've tried our best to get everyone around us saved and on their way to heaven. That's all our job is. Once we're saved, we're commissioned to show people the way to heaven and do what we can to win them to Christ. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 3. Please stand and we'll read and look at one passage, Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 3. The Bible says, "Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be you shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger." Now, words used twice, and that word is meekness, or meek and meekness. It's used twice, and you know, seek ye the Lord. The Lord knows who is going to seek him is the meek, is the meek. Then Zephaniah says, "Seek righteousness." And that's pretty exciting. Seek righteousness. I found righteousness in Christ when I received his imputed righteousness. The next statement, seek meekness. Seek meekness. Find Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. Many of you will know I'm going to the Beatitudes. And this is God's master design for how he wants man on earth, saved man to be. But Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. And we'll just look at that and start to see the word meek over and over again. And this is a curious verse, an incredible verse. One commentator said that Matthew 5:5 is one of the most important top six verses in the Bible. Now, you can argue that, but when you understand it and you know that it's the key to a relationship with Christ, with the Lord, it becomes very important. Very important, this word meekness. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. It's Wednesday night. Let's think we're on our jobs, we're working, and we all maybe have an inheritance in mind one day, some more than others. My dad's got a gun collection I'm pretty interested in, amen, and like to inherit that. I don't want him to die so I can get it, but I'd like to have those guns one day, amen. But maybe we're all thinking about an earthly inheritance. This is talking about a lot more. This is talking about God's blessings on your life now. "Ye shall inherit the earth and the fullness thereof," what God has for us. This is also talking about the rule and reign with Christ 1,000 years. Hey, we're going to come back and rule with him and inherit the earth. And you know what? It can even mean the new Jerusalem, the new heaven. Hey, we're going to inherit the earth. It's God's blessings on the Christian, the followers. So, blessed are the meek. There's a condition. Blessed are the meek. Blessed, happy, chosen are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The world's idea of the perfect man is quite different from the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes talk about the poor in spirit, they that mourn, the meek, they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, the pure in heart, the peacemakers. That's not really how this man and a lot of you probably go day to day and treat people and react with the Lord, etc. But this is the blueprint how God wants his children to be. And these things we'll see in this message are oh so important. If we had to rewrite Matthew 5:5, and be careful, a lot of folks are trying to rewrite the perfect Bible in the King James, maybe it would say, "Blessed are the strong who can hold their own." That I can relate to that more. Because we're bred and raised in a society where it's us and what we bring to the table, not what God can give to us. But I want to preach a message. You've probably heard this before. It's not new. You've probably heard it over and over again. But meekness is not weakness. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is not weakness. No, it's something everyone in here should desire and walk out of here tonight saying, I've got to get meekness. I've got to become meek. Because it has everything to do with our relationship between us and an almighty God. It doesn't have anything to do with weakness. We're going to see that. And just more of a Bible study tonight, maybe some preaching. I don't know what it will be. It's going to be the negative as opposed to Brother Garner's great preaching and Brother Todd's. But meekness is not weakness. I want you to leave with that thought and consider your meekness. And we're going to look at it in every way we can from Scripture. Meekness is not weakness. Lord, I just pray you'd use me now. And Father, Holy Spirit, fill me and use me. And God, help me to be a blessing to these people. Lord, I pray that the Word of God would come alive and the Holy Spirit would move among us. And Lord, I pray for those that may not know Christ tonight. Maybe there's one or more in here that have never trusted Jesus Christ for salvation alone. And oh God, that'd be the greatest result to see them come to the altar and get saved. And I pray you'd have that work in their heart, convict them of their sins, draw them at the invitation. And Lord, everyone else, Lord, if we're saved tonight, we should desire meekness, one of the fruits of the Spirit. And Father, we ask the Holy Spirit would help us to manifest meekness in our lives and grow closer to Thee. We pray for these things and love You and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, please be seated. Another place in the Bible, Psalm 37:11. I love to see Old Testament parallels to the New Testament. It just backs up that God wants us to know these things. If you're an Old Testament person, you're going to see meekness in the Old Testament. A New Testament person that loves the New Testament, maybe doesn't spend the time in the Old Testament, you're going to find it there. Psalm 37:11 says, "But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." Just another place, those meek, pretty special group, aren't they? They're going to inherit the earth. But you know what? Some good words in our society have been perverted. Some good words have been changed. If you look at a modern Webster's Dictionary, collegiate, it's going to change a lot of definitions. Here's what it's going to tell you the word meek means, and watch out. It's going to tell you the word meek means tame, timid, mild, suppressed, cowardly, wimpish, weak. It's going to tell you all these things. And because that's the dictionaries we have at our disposal, we'll believe it, hook, line, sinker. And we're going to say, I don't want to be meek then. If that's what meek is, I don't want to be weak and timid. I want to do something for the Lord. And I want to be bold on this earth while I'm here. I don't want to be meek. But can I tell you, meekness is not weakness at all. When the word gay comes to mind, first thing that comes to your mind is homosexuality, sodomites, that comes to your mind. That's not what gay means. Gay is used in the Bible. It means bright, happy, a different meaning. What about the word addiction? So that has to do with drugs and being addicted to something. No, it had to do with the house of Stephanus being addicted to the ministry in 1 Corinthians 16. That's a pretty good addiction to have, to the ministry, to the things of the Lord. So be careful. We need to walk circumspectly. Words are being changed left and right. Political correctness, watch it. The words that are coming out of this Bible are not being interpreted what they should be. John Wesley said this. He said, "There is no disposition which is more essential to Christianity." Let that sink in. There is no disposition. There is no feeling, if you will. There is no reaction in my being to God that is more valuable, more important to Christianity than meekness. Now that's pretty bold from John Wesley. I just happen to believe that. But what comes to your mind when I say meekness? Well, a poll was taken. The first thing that came to a person's mind when the word meekness was used. And guess what? Over and over, gentlemen, it was wimpy. It was wimpy. Well, God help us if that's our definition of meekness. And we're going to look at meekness from some different men, great men in the Bible. And our Savior Jesus Christ was meek and lowly in heart. And if He was, I want to be. I want to be meek, because meekness is not weakness. See, the world leaves out God in its picture, in its definition of words. It totally leaves out a holy context. Now it looks at these words and puts them in Earth's vernacular, Earth's vocabulary. We've got to be careful. We've got to be careful. The world thinks of the now. As Brother Todd says, the world looks horizontally, looks at each other. We compare ourselves among ourselves, which is not wise. And we never look like we should vertically up to the Lord and our relationship to Him. But let me just, this is going to be more of a Bible study. I want to talk about what is meekness. What is meekness? Let's get the right definition out there. And can I tell you, it's complex. It's more than just, it's humility. That's part of it. That's part of it. But meekness looks Godward. It looks to the Lord. Meekness is our estimation of ourselves. Let me say that again. Meekness is our estimation of ourselves, where we fit in the realm and the government of a holy and righteous God. Where do we fit? After salvation, God didn't come walking with us in our backyards. No, we're still in the flesh. We're still far, far from a holy, righteous, perfect, omnipotent, omniscient Lord. We don't get as close to Him as we think. Now, spiritually, we're born again when we accept Christ and have a new nature, a Spirit of God in us, and we have a soul that's saved. But hey, we're still in the flesh, and we still battle that thing, and our flesh isn't close to God. It's still down here on earth. Meekness is how you look at yourself. Turn to Galatians 5, chapter 5, verse 22, verse 23, and you know where I'm going, fruit of the Spirit. And you look at all these fruits of the Spirit, and you see them in people. Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. And we're trying to define here what biblical meekness is. Not what meekness is in this world. It's weakness. It's something you don't desire. But biblical meekness. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And there you have it, meekness, right in there with love, joy, peace, faith, great things. And we'll look around tonight and we'll say, there's a lady of faith, or there's a man of faith. And we'll say, that person is very gentle in their manner. We'll say, boy, that person has a lot of peace. And we may say, oh, they're just full of love. But how many times have you heard someone compliment somebody and say, they're just very meek? Now some of us would blush and think, oh, don't call me meek. Well, how far we are from a biblical definition of a very important word. A word that's key. One of the top maybe six scriptures in the Bible mentioning meek. Consider that tonight. Are you meek? Are you meek? Well, let's look at it further. Meekness is humility. It's patience. It's a non-aggressive attitude. Listen, folks, most of us get into it every day with somebody somehow on a phone call with a, you know, maybe it's SBC and a couple dollars off on your bill. We're going to get into it. We're going to dig in with our teeth. And our nature is to be aggressive. And I'm right, you're wrong. And it's not meek, folks. It's not meek. It doesn't come easy for us to be meek. I said, Brother Donnelly, you're just harping on this word meek. Well, you got about 50, 45, something more minutes of being hearing about the word meek here. Because we want to dig into this word and see why it's so important and how it can change our Christianity. Help us grow, like this man that's interested in growing. The message tonight is for those of you who want to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Meekness is going to help you. Meekness. It's non-aggressive. It's being kind. It's being friendly. It's having the perspective on life, where we fit in God's picture, where we fit. A lot of us have too high of estimation of ourselves. What about Christ? Matthew 11, 29, what did He say? He said, take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. So we see it's a heart matter. It's got to be something inside of you, meek and lowly. And I bet not too many of us would want to be called lowly tonight. That's not the greatest compliment, young men, teenagers. Well, you're lowly. Those are fighting words, right, young men? Right? Now, Jesus said, I'm meek and lowly. Take My yoke, He said, and He'll carry your burdens. Listen, being lowly, being meek, it harbors no malice. It harbors no ill will. You know what? It's not moved by insult. A meek person, you can insult them, and they won't strike back. Here's what they understand. One of the keys of meekness. Here's what they understand. Romans 12, 19 says, vengeance is Mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Leave it up to God to repay those that wrong you. Suffer persecution for Christ's sake. Lowly. What else does it mean? It means gentleness. Titus 3, 2. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle. Showing all meekness unto all men. Meekness. Showing all meekness unto all men. Sounds kind of universal, like maybe in all our interaction. We need to be meek. What else? It's a spirit under control. What else? Yeah, I've heard this a lot. Meekness is power under control. Consider a great thoroughbred racehorse. Now, I know absolutely nothing about horses. I wouldn't know which direction to put a saddle on a horse, so I hope I'm not confronted with that. Although my kids want a horse, and until they have an income, we're not going to have a horse. But they want a horse. I wouldn't know what to do with a horse. Once it's saddled, maybe I'd try to ride it. But a horse. Consider a thoroughbred racehorse. Power under control. You ever seen a horse before the start of a race? It's under the control of that coach, that jockey, that trainer. And it's got an awesome amount of power and speed, but it's under control. It's meek, you might say. It's a great giant, but meek. But meek and maybe lowly. And you say, wow, is that horse going to get out there and run that fast and win that race? Yeah, it's meek. It's not weak. Let me read a definition from you. This will be long, and I hope that you will see meekness throughout. Look at Romans chapter 12, just an incredible passage. Passage on Christian living. Romans chapter 12, we know how Romans chapter 12 begins, about giving our bodies a living sacrifice. But I want to start in verse 3. This is going to be a little lengthy, but I just want you to see meekness. I want you to see it's throughout Scripture. It's something we can't avoid if we want to grow in our relationship with the Lord. Starting in verse 3, chapter 12, Romans, the Bible says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." We're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. And we compare ourselves to Christ. We're not very high, folks. We're not near as high as we think we are. "But to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Now skip down at verse 9. I'm going to read quite a bit here. And just think of meekness. Think of these things we're talking about. And I'm going to get off the definition of meekness after this, but it's just throughout Scripture. And we've got to read this to get a grasp on meekness. Starting in verse 9, "Let love be without dissimulation or hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation." Meek, patient in tribulation. That's a very meek spirit. "Continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality." A meek person is usually a good host and given to hospitality. One of the characteristics that a pastor needs to be. Verse 14, "Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not." Well, that's tough, isn't it? Meek, meek, meek. Verse 16, or with verse 15, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate." There's the definition of lowly, condescending to men of low estate. "Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil." Now that's what we do. We want to recompense man evil for evil. We're wronged, we instantly think, "How can I get back at them? What can I say?" That's not a meek spirit. That's not the way Christ treated people. Not a one. Verse 18, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." Live meekly, with meekness, among all men. And verse 19, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Meekness. That's what we're talking about. And it's not weakness. Not at all. Not at all. The promises for the meek. Let's move to this section. The promises for the meek. You know, it's such a great thing I've been talking about. What are the promises attached to it? Well, let me just give you a few from the book of Psalms and one or two other places. Psalm 22, 26 says, "The meek shall eat and be satisfied." Amen. Eat. Come, there's one. Eat and be satisfied. We like to eat. All right. Psalm 25, 9, "The meek, he will guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way." So I'm not growing. I'm not being taught. I hate hearing that. I'm not being fed. Are you meek? You're going to receive the Word of God with meekness. We're going to see in James in just a minute. Are you meek? You'll be fed. The Lord wants to feed you. You're his child. Psalm 37, 11, we've already looked at, "But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." Hey, I'm all for living in peace. Psalm 147, 6, "The Lord lifteth up the meek." The Lord lifteth up the meek, the downtrodden, the worried, the depressed, the discouraged. Probably a lot of us tonight need to be lifted up. That's what God's all about. You become meek, learn your place, learn God's place. He'll lift you up. He'll lift you up. Psalm 149, 4, "He will beautify the meek with salvation." Now here's my opinion on something, but I think that a person to be saved has to be meek. I think they have to come to a place where they see they're lost. They're without Christ. There's nothing they can do to earn salvation. No amount of prayer, no amount of Bible study, no amount of church. But they come to a place where it's Jesus Christ alone, plus or minus nothing. That's salvation. That takes a meek spirit. That takes a humble spirit. That takes a spirit that we don't naturally have. That's why so many folks don't get saved. The folks above age 20 are so hard to reach. They don't have very many have a meek spirit. Boy, they're proud. They know everything already. I've read the Bible. Listen, I've read it a lot and I barely know anything that it says. He'll beautify the meek with salvation. Isaiah 29:19, "The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord." Everybody in here wants to increase their joy in the Lord. You wouldn't be here on a Wednesday night, on a hot Wednesday night. You want to increase your joy in the Lord. I know you do. I do. It's through being meek, the Bible says. It's opposite of being proud and self-sufficient and knowing the answer to everything. It's not a meek spirit. And people don't want to be around somebody that's not meek. It wears out relationships. Now this is my favorite part of the message. Who was meek in the Bible? Well, Just about every major character in the Bible, major figure, was very meek. Very meek. Let's start out with Moses. Some of you will know this verse, Moses chapter. That's one of the five books. Just pick one. Numbers chapter 12. Numbers. Well, he wrote it. Could be Moses. Numbers chapter 12. We're going to see here that he was the meekest of all men in his day. And we're going to certainly see Moses wasn't weak. Was not weak at all. Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. Kind of an interesting verse. It's in parentheses, kind of set off, but very, very important and insightful to the character of Moses. It says, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." Now, time doesn't permit to give a study of Moses. I'd love to. Incredible man, incredible leader, incredibly meek. God talked to him mouth to mouth, face to face. I can't say that about too many folk. Just an incredible what God did with Moses. In this chapter, Numbers chapter 3, you know who he let settle up the dispute that Miriam and Aaron brought to him? He let the Lord. The Lord sent leprosy to Miriam. The Lord did okay settling it up. "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." And God also said, "Who is faithful in all mine house," regarding Moses in that passage. Moses was meek. He wasn't weak. Well, you're not convinced? Exodus 32, you don't have to turn there. Exodus 32, Moses is coming down after fasting 40 days and 40 nights and being with the Lord. And he has something in his hands. He has the Ten Commandments. And meets Joshua, then he hears a rock concert, probably the first rock concert, an example of the wrong kind of music in the Bible. He hears this noise coming from the camp and says, "What's going on?" Well, he gets angry. And his anger waxed hot, the Bible says. And guess what he does? God says, "Well, I'm just going to wipe them all out." Well, he's so meek, he intercedes for those people. He says, "Don't do it, Lord." The Lord repents, check me out on this, and changes his mind and doesn't kill everybody. I think he had a great, great relationship with the Lord. He wasn't weak, he was meek. What else did he do? By the end of that chapter, he said, "Who is on the Lord's side?" He had the Levites follow him, and he ordered the execution of 3,000. He wasn't weak. That was an incredible leader. Incredible leader. Numbers 31, he called on 12,000, 1,000 out of every tribe, to slay the Midianites, the men and the women. That wasn't weak. That was being meek and knowing God's command, knowing God's direction in his life. In Deuteronomy 34:10, "And there arose no prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." Pretty incredible. Well, that's Moses. Let's consider here David. Or how about Job? Let's look at Job before David. Job, if you could sum up the whole book, you might say that by the end of the book, he became kind of meek before God. He knew his place. He knew his estimation of himself by the end of the book. Let me show you from Scripture and believe the Scripture, not me. Job 40, verse 4 and 5. "Behold, I am vile," Job said. "What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth once I have spoken, but I will not answer, yea, twice, but I will proceed no further." By Job 42, the last chapter of the book, you can say Job was humbled by then, right? Lost everything. Had four really great friends. Boy, they lacked pride, didn't they? Really wonderful folks there. Real meek bunch. You know what he said? Verse 42, 6. "Wherefore I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes." He had the right estimation of himself. He was very meek. And God had to do some things, I think, to get him there. What about David? Oh, we could study David a long time tonight. Psalm 39, 4 and 5. "Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am." David, frail? David was no weakling. Not one in here would challenge him when he was a teenager and had a sling and just one rock. That was enough. He wasn't weak, but he was meek. He knew how frail he was before the Lord. He knew positionally he wasn't as close to God, and he needed everything God would do for him. David goes on to say, "Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is nothing before thee." Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. That's you and me at our best state. Is altogether vanity. Oh, let's get into the New Testament. John the Baptist. Well, he was a pretty weak man, wasn't he? Couldn't even dress right. Hold it. Hold your judgment. John chapter 1, verse 27. "He it is who coming after me is preferred before me." Folks, that's meekness. John's whole preaching was, "He must increase, but I must decrease. Make the Lord magnified in my life, the Lord Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John was there to prepare the way for the one. Kind of like what we need to be doing in our life, to be meek and highlight the Savior. Let His light shine in our life, that we may show His good works. But back to John the Baptist. Paul had this down, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul had the right relationship down. John the Baptist did. It was said of John the Baptist, among those that are born of women, there is no greater prophet than John the Baptist. He wasn't a weakling, but he was very meek. He knew his relationship to the Lord, and he had it right. He had it right. Typically not the way we think, right? We think, if I increase and I bring God my education, I bring God something, then I'm a good Christian. No, God wants us to come empty. He wants us to come and let him fill us with his Holy Spirit and bear these fruits, these nine fruits of the Spirit, and do something through us and in us. If we get that down, he wants us to come empty and clean, sin forgiven. He doesn't want us to come with us. He doesn't care how many degrees I have on the wall or any of that. He cares if I'm going to be willing to obey him and trust him and follow him and be meek and seek his will. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. Oh, now let's consider Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Despising the shame sounds pretty meek to me. For the joy that was set before him, he did it with a good attitude. It's incredible. Study Christ, the meekest of all. Meek personified. Isaiah 53:7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. That's not very weak. That's a pretty tough individual, you ask me. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Jesus didn't open his mouth, folk, being dragged to that cross to endure the most brutal death I've ever heard of, and this world has. He was meek. He was meek and followed his Father's will perfectly. Matthew 11:28-30, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. There it is again, meek and lowly. Oh, we don't want to be meek and lowly. Well, if someone told me earlier in my Christian life, Brother Donnelly, you're meek and lowly, I'd think, man, I'm missing something. I'm cowardly. I guess I'm not standing up for God. Not the way the Bible reads. Meek and lowly is what we need to be. Lowly. Hey, people will like you, be attracted to you if you're meek and lowly. They'll want to be around you. Well, I like being around people that are humble, people that know how great God is. Brother Todd mentions the gentleman that comes Sunday morning. I don't know if he's here tonight, but he's always praising God, always giving thanks, always humble. And he's a person I'd just like to shake his hand because he has this down. Meekness and lowliness. What else about Christ? Matthew 21:5, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek. How did he come? He came meek. Not weak, meek. My Savior wasn't weak. And don't come to me and say he is, or I'm going to not be meek for a second or two and let you know what I really think. He wasn't weak at all. He was meek. He was meek. What about Stephen? The end of Acts chapter 7. He was being stoned. Boy, you'd think he'd want to fight a little bit, right? Powerful deacon. Now, you know what Stephen said in verse 60? He said, and he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Can you imagine Stephen looking at these men that were beating him to death with stones and saying, lay not this sin to their charge? Folks, that is meek. That's not weak. That's not weak at all. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He died shortly after. Meek. Last but not least, Paul, 2 Corinthians 10:1. 2 Corinthians 10:1. Now I, Paul, but myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. The meekness and gentleness of Christ. Paul was power under control. We don't have time to talk about all the persecution and suffering and beatings and stripes and things Paul endured. But you know about it. Read the last part of 2 Corinthians when he validated his ministry. Hey, he had every reason to rise up against these people and fight, but he was meek and gentle. See, he knew a great truth. He knew a great truth. He knew that if he took pleasure in his infirmities and his reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. He knew when he's weak, he's strong through Christ. He had a right perspective on his relationship. Well, we see here just about every person in the Bible was meek. All these great characters were meek, very meek. There's plenty of ladies that were meek. Ruth was pretty meek to follow her mother-in-law, wasn't she? Pretty meek, pretty meek. Not me, but thine will be done. What about, I can think of a lot of ladies, Queen Esther. What about her? She went before a king, her husband, who could have killed her, very meekly, and turned his heart and saved the Jews. And Mary, mother of Jesus, very meek. Unworthy of the task at hand. Now let's get to something practical here. How will meekness help you? How will meekness help you? You want to be helped? We're here. We're a church to grow. how is this meekness thing going to help you? If you go practice being meek and get the Holy Spirit in your life to bear meekness. Well, it's going to help you, first of all, in your relationship with God. It's going to help you in your relationship with God. James 1:21 says this, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness." How do we need to receive the Bible? With meekness. With meekness. With an attitude of humility. With an attitude of, "I don't know everything." With an attitude of, "God, you're great. I'm not. Teach me from thy word." Maybe God just wants us to be childlike in our relationship with Him. Maybe so. You know what? Most bus kids I've found are pretty meek. One-on-one. Now, we had a few at camp that weren't very meek. Most of them were pretty meek. And a child doesn't have everything that an older person has. Doesn't have all the baggage and competition going on and problems. And they can come meek. And that's why they get saved. They can come and realize their need for a Savior. I believe that's why God said, "Except you be converted and become as little children." A child easily accepts Christ when salvation is explained to them. James 4:10, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He shall lift you up." He'll help you in your relationship to God. He'll help you in your relationship to man. You know, if you go for biblical counsel, it's good to find a counselor that'll believe in Galatians 6:1. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness." In the spirit of meekness. Boy, it's great to go to Dr. Smith's office and just feel his meekness and his pity on us when we do wrong, we need counsel. He's meek. 2 Timothy 2:25, "In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves." So it'll help us in our relationship with man, our relationship with God, and help us in so many ways, and it'll help us in our witness to man. It'll help us in our soul winning and our witness to man. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Here's something I've learned about witnessing to my family. There's two avenues that Brother Donnelly has taken witnessing to my lost family members. The one that I've chosen more often that's failed miserably is, boy, I mean to be proud of what I believe in. And tell them about my Bible college degree. And tell them I work on staff of a big church. And get in their face. And preach to them. Tell them their church is wrong. Well, they shouldn't go to that Methodist church or this church or that church. And boy, that fails miserably. There's nothing meek about that. That's bragging. That's literally doing everything to turn them away from wanting anything that I have. Now, I've adopted another position that's very hard. It doesn't come natural. And that's called meekness. That's called trying to deal with them with meekness and being lowly and letting them notice things in my life. And whenever I get a chance and pray for a chance to witness to them, talk to them about the Lord, to take it. And ask for God to open a door. Ask for God to make me meek before them. It works because that's God's way. Meekness. Meekness in your witness. And the Bible has a lot to say about that. And James 3:13 says, "Out of good conversation, his works with meekness of wisdom." If you're a lady and you want to win your husband to Christ and he's lost, the Bible talks about in 1 Peter chapter 3, talks about winning your husband with your chaste conversation. Not by preaching the word to them, ladies. Chaste conversation, being meek before them. Letting them see Christ in your life. That Christ has made a great difference. That's how you win them to Christ. So finally, how do you get meekness? Hey, I want to know how you get meekness. We've preached about it here, talked about it. Just about every great figure you can look at in the Bible, it was meek. How do you get it? Right? That's what we want to know. How do you get it? Tell me how I can get it so I can leave here and be more meek. Well, I hope that's your goal tonight. It's all serious as I can get. I hope you want to be more meek. It's going to help you grow as a Christian. First thing you need to do, back to our verse in Zephaniah 2:3, "Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek," and then seek meekness. You're going to have to seek it. You're going to have to work to get it. It's not magic wand Christianity where you just automatically going to have it. "God, I want meekness." Boom, you're meek. It doesn't work that way. Meekness is going to be something that you're going to have the Holy Spirit's help in to bear that fruit in you, with it to come out of you. Meekness. It's going to be something that you've got to seek. You find it in the Word of God. Well, that's what we've done tonight. Found it in the Word of God. You find it in mature Christians. I've got a handful of people I can think of that are meek. Well, I just want to be around them. You know, they're older Christians that have been in the faith. And boy, they are meek and lowly, but full of God, full of the Spirit. Boy, they do a lot to lift me up. Find it in mature Christians. You find it in God's music. Believe it or not, you find it in God's music. The world's music will do everything to pull you away from the Lord and to get your flesh excited. But God's music, consider some songs. "Just As I Am." "I Surrender All." Think about "Softly and Tenderly." "Trust and Obey." Those are pretty meek titles, right? They're not weak. They're meek. They're meek. Godly music will help you, put you in a meek state, and help you control your flesh and your desires to lurch out at somebody and be aggressive and take the world into your own hands. The right music. See, we want quick fixes. We're a quick fix society. We want it to be programmed into our cell phone to give us meekness when we look at it, right? We want it quick. We're the credit card society, the fast food society, and we don't want to wait on a life for meekness to be brought out and wrought in our life. So seek it. Secondly, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. If it's a fruit of the Spirit, we need the Spirit so it can manifest in our lives. We won't spend a lot of time on that, but Ephesians 5:18 says, but be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit, not our own, let us also walk in the Spirit. The problem is we're filled with the world, and we're filled with ourselves. Our flesh has got us so full on this thing called meekness, we don't want to be weak. Meekness isn't weakness. Meekness is not weakness. By the way, the Holy Spirit is very meek. The triune God, God is very meek. He's never pushed me to do anything. God didn't make me get saved. He didn't make me get baptized. He didn't make me come to church tonight. He's meek. It's characteristic in our triune God, meekness. Meekness. The Holy Spirit is never going to force you to do anything. Sometimes I wish the Holy Spirit would because I'm lazy and backslidden in areas. But the Holy Spirit's not. The Holy Spirit's meek. Are you clean? Are you in a position for the Holy Spirit to fill you? Hey, we're coming up to an invitation in a few minutes. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Don't come waste your time at the altar and pray, Lord, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want meekness. I need it. If you've got iniquity in your heart, we've got to get the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, put on meekness. Well, that's weird. Put on meekness. How do you put it on? Put on clothes. How do you put on meekness? Well, that's exactly what the Bible says. Spiritually, we've got to put on meekness. Colossians 3:12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Well, I wish it was as easy as just, well, there's my shirt of meekness and I can just put it on. It's not that easy. We got to wake up in the morning determining to not live in the flesh, to die to the old flesh, and to put on meekness. Romans 13:14 says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. And I love that verse, but it's hard in practice. Very hard in practice to wake up, and when your eyes open, to just determine you're not going to please and do what the flesh wants you to do. Folk, if I did what the flesh wanted to do, I'd be late to work every day. I'd get a little extra sleep in, and a lot of other things I'd do that God wouldn't approve of. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about dying to our flesh. Finally, how do you get meekness? You seek it. You get the Holy Ghost. You put on meekness. And finally, you're not going to go anywhere without prayer and fasting. All these great leaders of the Bible prayed, fasted, some 40 days and 40 nights. It's right there, folk. You want to experience in meekness, fast. Give up a meal, that's great. Try a few days. You get into the second, third, fourth day, you're going to experience a whole new dependency on the Lord to get you through the thing. And you're going to experience meekness. Prayer, get down on your knees. Talk to God about meekness. Ask Him what you need to get out of your life to get the Holy Spirit in, to bear meekness, that fruit of the Spirit. So those four things, how do you get meekness? Problem is, again, we look horizontally. I'm looking out at you tonight. I need to be looking up at God saying, God, help me, a sinner, saved by your grace, but oh, yet so far from you. All my righteousness is but filthy rags. Psalm 22:6 says, but I am a worm and no man, reproach of men and despised of the people. David had this thing right. He had meekness. He knew where he fit in God's pictures, and it was far below God. And that gave him so much power. And it'll give you power if we realize and we quit looking horizontally and we look up at the Lord and we quit comparing ourselves with others. And I tell my children this and I tell others this. Life's not fair. Nothing's going to be fair on this earth till we're raptured out of here and we're with the Lord. We need to get used to dealing with one another. We need to become meek in our dealings and our relationships. Meekness will help you in so many ways. It's not weakness. We let this world influence us. I've let it influence me. When God gave me this message weeks ago, I thought, meekness? That's just kind of meek sounding, right? I had no idea. The Bible is full of examples of meekness and how much I need meekness. And now I've thought in my mind the last few weeks, wow, I have blown it. Not hundreds of times, but thousands of times in relationships. Well, how many countless times have we blown it? And we're not meek. We get right in somebody's face and we want the last words. With our spouse, with our children, on our jobs. We're not meek, folk. We're not meek. We're not as meek as we might think. I'm concerned about the generation to come. Well, they're sufficient in themselves. They look horizontally. They're not looking up to the Lord. Meekness will help us fix a lot of problems in life, right? In our home, marriage, job, ministries, it'll help defeat pride. Meekness will help defeat anger. You angry tonight? You got a root of bitterness? Meekness will deal with that in a great way. It'll put you before the Lord in the position of weakness where you need to be before the Lord so He can fill you and do something with you. Meekness produces peace. It produces blessings and inheritance. It produces these things. It allows us to see ourselves as God sees us. If you take anything from the message, meekness. It's going to help you see yourself before an almighty, omniscient, omnipotent God in the heaven that's looking down and wants us meek so He can use us, so He can fill us. It's been said it's the proof of true greatness of soul, meekness. True greatness of soul. The greatest Christians will always be meek. Here's a quote. He has the best of this world who thinks least of it and least of himself. What do you think of yourself tonight? What's your estimation of yourself tonight? Hey, by the way, the meek, we're not going to lose in the end. We're going to win. The meek win. The meek inherit the earth. Think on that. Ponder on that. Are you meek? I'm not. I'm preaching to myself tonight. I've preached to myself for weeks already. I'm glad I got to preach it to somebody else. I'm under conviction because I'm not meek. I failed so many times. Boy, I think I'm so important, so good. Boy, I think that maybe I could have done something to earn salvation. No, I couldn't do anything. Nothing. By grace alone. By grace alone. That's how we need to live our life. By the grace of God, by faith, and not ourselves. We need to remove ourselves from the picture of trying to grow in grace. And we'll do a lot better if we just get meek. And we learn that meekness is not weakness. No, it's a characteristic of David, of Moses, of Jesus, of Paul, of Ruth, of all these folk in the Bible. And I need that meekness in my life. I don't know about you, Christian, but I need that meekness. I need it bad. And God will give it to you. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this time. Thank You for the preaching. And I just pray it'd be a great help to Your people tonight. Lord, I know it's been a help to me. Father, I think if we're honest tonight, many of us would say, Lord, I'm not very meek. Lord, I've messed up this relationship. I've got